Amelia, why you?
Good question. It's funny when I talk to, you know, friends from high school, whatever, I say, no one grows up and thinks, I'm going to be the rape lawyer. You know, that it's not like when I was six, I, you know, at school career day, I said, hey, I'm going to grow up and be a rape lawyer. But it's interesting. I think it's just a sense of, it's a matter of timing and kind of the way things happen. So it was in around 2014 that I was thinking, you know, I wanted more flexibility in my job and I wanted to really be using my law degree because I had passed the bar, but I wasn't working as an attorney. And I reached out to Catherine Lyle. She's a family friend. And I said, you know, I want to go into being a lawyer. Like, do you want an associate? And she said, no, I don't. You should start your own firm and I'm going to help you. She is my mentor and she really like showed me the way of how to start my own law firm. I rent office space from her. So we're right there across the hall from each other. And it just so happened that I knew a lot about the IU process, having worked there, and yeah, most lawyers don't. Partly because I think the IU system is so different than real court. You know, they don't have continuances, for example. So like in real court, you could say, you know, we don't have enough discovery to need to have a hearing today or whatever the situation is. My kid's sick or anything that might come up and you can just push the hearing out another month. I've asked for sexual assault hearings to be moved before and they say no. And they just set them whenever they want to. You know, like in real court, they'll say, like, I have a trial right now set for April 9th. We set it at April 9th a long time ago. If something comes up, we'll move it. We'll all agree, like, hey, that's not a great date. Let's move it. Or if I had a family emergency or something like that, we would move it. But at IU, they don't set it until about a week before it takes place. So you can't have it on your calendar. You're not planning for it. Just all of a sudden, guess what? Sexual assault hearing. So one weekend, I had three hearings in one weekend. The hearings take place on weekends. So I had Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, three different clients, three different hearings.
Did you get any sleep?
No, I did not.
I didn't think so.
So a lot of lawyers don't like IU system. The other thing that's really difficult.
Well, you don't like the system.
Don't like working in the system, I guess I'll say. I like working with the system. It's something I know about. I feel like I like the people who work there. It's easy to work. You know, I understand the system.
And but if you were drawing it up,
I would not have universities do hearings for sexual assault at all. What I would do, and I've said this in past interviews, but I think schools are uniquely situated to help people who have made an accusation of sexual assault in a way that the courts and police officers and prosecutors cannot. For example, if I come to my RA and say I was sexually assaulted last week, this guy's in my finite class, I have to see him every day, IU can move those people so they're not in the same class. They'll move the respondent first, unless the complainant would like to be the one moved. Otherwise, they move the respondent. So she could say, I don't want him in my dorm. I don't want to see him at mealtime or whatever the case may be. Or if the girl says, you know, I'm so distraught about this, but I have a final on Friday, the school will contact the professor and say, explain a little bit about what's going on and ask if she can have an extension of time on that. You know, the police cannot do that. The prosecutors can't do that. But the school is uniquely situated to help somebody with that. Right. But I think let's leave the adjudication to the courts.
So whenever there's an accusation, it should go to the prosecutor.
That's exactly what I think.
That's serious stuff now. Now you're not just talking about you're suspended or you're getting kicked out of school. You're talking about could be jail.
Yeah, except in the majority of these cases, the prosecutor would look at it and say, I'm not charging this. There's no evidence. Uh-huh. There's conflicting stories. I thought it was interesting in that the Yale story in the New York Times, one of the victim's advocates was saying, well, complainants don't want to go have to be questioned because their credibility is put into question. And it's like, yes, it should be put into question. You're making an accusation against somebody and it relies on your credibility. Why wouldn't your credibility be questioned? If we're trying to figure out the truth, then it matters that the person's credible who's making an accusation.
Are you a truth teller?
Right.
Yeah.
And is your story likely true? You know, by talking to witnesses and looking at circumstantial evidence, that kind of thing.
At some certain point, you said, now I think I'm going to be a lawyer. When was that point?
Well, you could say that point was I had my daughter, Monet, who just turned 13. I had her when I was a junior at IU, and I thought, wow, I guess I need a job where I can support myself, because my plan had been to kind of like, let's see how it goes, like maybe be a Italian teacher in high school, right, or who knows. But and then I have a family history of being in law. My mom's an attorney. My dad's a paralegal. My mom actually had my bassinet at Ferguson and Ferguson Law Firm when I was a baby.
And by the way, if I may say, Carol Seaman, your mother,
yes,
is a big shot at the Cook Group. She is the she's an attorney. She's the vice president, global chief ethics and compliance officer.
Yes.
Did that inspire you, the fact that she's a very successful attorney?
It did. And I always say she's a big shot. She's very humble and disagrees, but that's what I say. But, you know, I was raised by an attorney, as you just said. And
yeah.
So we had very much, we talked about law around the dinner table. We had all these philosophical discussions about right and wrong and what processes should be followed in given situations. And, you know, compliance officer, we had a lot of rules.
Yeah.
So I do think that really did help focus my decision. And she didn't make any secret of that. It's hard to practice law and it's a demanding job. And so I knew that going into it. But I just think it's so interesting. And I love reading and writing. Those are two of my favorite things. Yeah. And arguing with people.
What better field
where I can combine all those things?
Now, what was harder? What is harder? Law school or practicing?
Well, you know, they're harder in different ways. In law school, they really just throw you in the deep end. They have the Socratic method where that you'll get cold called and you just have to kind of take it from there. Like we all saw in the paper chase and movies like that. That's really what it's like. And I would just be sitting there with like sweat dripping down my back. I remember just, depending on the professor too.
Yeah.
But that is really good preparation for lawyering because you have to think quickly. If a judge asks you a question, you have to be able to answer it, that kind of thing. So it's good to be able to know how to process a lot of information quickly and analyze it for the answers that you need. But lawyering is difficult in a certain way because it's not just the solving problems. You also are in somebody's real life, which is one thing I like about both family law and criminal law is, especially, I think my practice is focused on, I like to think of myself as very parent friendly. You know, we have a lot of parents send their kids to IU that text them every day. They're very involved in their child's life still. And so they need someone to kind of do some hand holding and explain the process to them, help assuage their fears and concerns a little bit, and just someone to be there to rely on throughout the process who knows what they're going through. I think people need that almost as much as any other part of the process.
That's funny you bring that up because there is a website called Avvo, and that is a sort of a lawyer ranking type of website.
Yes.
And here's a quote from a parent. As a parent, you never expect that you will get a phone call in the middle of the night from your college student telling you they need legal assistance. That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
My kid's going to jail.
Yeah, especially.
Or my kid's getting kicked out of school.
Yeah, especially for parents who are far away.
Right.
And just, you know, being treated with respect and being listened to, all that kind of thing. It's a lot more complicated than reading a case book and reciting that back to a professor, I think.
Mom, your dad, are they proud of your work?
Yes, I think so. I think they are. My dad, now that he's retired, he comes to my hearings sometimes. So if I have a big case, he'll come. Or I was pro temming the other day. It's like a substitute judge.
Where you're
sitting. He came and watched me judge for a few hours.
Bang your gavel.
Yeah. There was no gavel. I was disappointed. I wanted a gavel.